Welcome to Searching the Scriptures, brought to you by the Church of Christ that meets at Wasilla. We are located at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogart Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our phone number is 373-5773, and our website is churchofchristwasilla.com. Come and study God's Word with us. We meet at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. for services, and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7. Each week, we'll endeavor to help you grow by searching the Scriptures. 2 Peter 3:18 reads, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Please take out your Bibles and search the Scriptures with us this morning.
Welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Wendell Fikes, and we invite you to stay tuned to Q99.7 as we study the Scriptures together. We're encouraged by your interest in examining and searching the Scriptures with us each Lord's Day. Today's lesson is entitled, "What Happens When I Die?" When a friend dies, have you wondered what happens to him or her now? Maybe you've stood by your father or mother's bedside when their spirit slipped into the eternal realm. Do you ponder or think about where has the spirit gone? Where's their soul gone? After all, someday your spirit and my spirit will leave our bodies. Those who file statistics for the records tell us that in the next minute, the next 60 seconds, 105 people will die. That's stunning. 3,150 people will die by the time this broadcast ends. Fact, every person will die. It is appointed to men to die, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Fact, every person who dies has a spirit that will live on in the eternal ages, either in heaven or hell, after his or her body dies. Jesus said, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. These, the wicked, will go away into everlasting punishment, that's hell, but the righteous into eternal life, heaven. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46. The death of dignitaries and prominent citizens is flashed around the world. The internet and local newspapers daily publish the names of those folks who have died. We read about death and dying. We listen to the TV, radio, CDs, to songs about death and dying. Death and dying is no stranger to the human family. The Scriptures clearly reveal, with the passage of time, that each of us will likewise die. All the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 5. 7 more times in chapter 5 of the book of Genesis. Moses would announce the name, age, and then say, "And he died." Noah lived after the flood 350 years. So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 28 and 29. Sarah lived 127 years, and she died. Genesis chapter 23 and verse 1. Abraham lived 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Genesis chapter 25, verses 7 and 8. Moses was 120 years old when he died. Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 7. Joshua, who followed Moses as the leader of the Israelite nation, said toward the end of his life, "Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth." That is, I'm going to die. Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14. Joshua understood that he would die. Soon his toils on this earth would cease. The great and the tireless Apostle Paul, knowing that his death sentence had been handed down, wrote his beloved Timothy these words, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. About Paul's statement, A.T. Robertson makes this observation: "What was then a possibility is now a certainty. The sacrifice of Paul's life blood has begun." Paul was ready to die and to go home and be with the Lord. Our point is this: everyone will die. Mankind, both men and women, are composite beings. Each person has a body. Our body is mortal, that is, subject to death, meaning it will die someday. Each person has an eternal soul or spirit. The soul or spirit is given to a person by God at the moment of conception. In time, our bodies will die, but the spirit or the soul will never die. The soul or the spirit is eternal. What happens when death occurs? When the spirit or soul leaves the body dies. Moses wrote in the scriptures concerning Jacob's beloved Rachel, who died giving birth to Benjamin, these words, "And it was so, as her soul was departing, for she died." Genesis chapter 35 and verse 18. James wrote, "The body without the spirit is dead." James chapter 2 and verse 26. Death comes to our mortal body when the spirit leaves. When our bodies die, they return to the dust of the earth from which they were created. The scriptures clearly affirm this fact. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19. The wise man Solomon wrote, "Then the dust will return to the earth as it was." Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth these words, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, that's the body that the soul lives in, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. This body, the dust of corruption, remains until the last day of earth's history. Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." John chapter 6, verses 44 and 54. The mortal body will be raised from the dead in a new form. The resurrected new body will be immortal, that is, a body that will never die. The writer of the Old Testament book of Daniel declares, "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt." Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. Remember, the Lord said, "Don't fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy," that's God, "both soul and body in hell." So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 54. The body is dust. The body is mortal. The body dies. The body goes back to dust. The body will be raised at the last day. At the resurrection, God will give the new body immortality. It will not die. Death will be no more. When the spirit leaves the body, where does the spirit go? What does the Bible say about the spirit and where it goes? The words soul, spirit, and mind are sometimes, in fact several times, used interchangeably. The soul, spirit, and the mind are the inward or inner man. We do not lose heart, Paul said, even though our outward man, that's the physical body of dust, is perishing, that's decaying, yet the inward man, the inner man, the soul, spirit, or mind is being renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Jesus said concerning his impending suffering and crucifixion, my soul is troubled. John chapter 12 and verse 27. 6 days later, the evening of the Passover, the scriptures reveal these words recorded by the Apostle John. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit. John chapter 13 and verse 21. Soul and spirit is used interchangeably in John chapter 12 and verse 27 and John chapter 13 and verse 21. The Apostle Paul used spirit and mind interchangeably. God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit. Romans chapter 1 and verse 9. Later he writes, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. Romans chapter 7 and verse 25. Spirit and mind is used interchangeably by Paul. When the spirit leaves the body, where does the spirit go? Solomon answers that question. The spirit will return to God who gave it. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. Where is that place? All spirits, all souls, both the righteous spirits and the wicked spirits, go to a place called Hades. Bible scholar and commentator Wayne Jackson writes, Hades comes directly from Greek into English, letter for letter. Some derive the term from the negative prefix, not, and seen, hence the unseen, that is, from the earthly vantage point. Others suggest the word signifies all receiving. In the King James Version, the Greek term Hades is always translated hell, but this is incorrect. Hades is the generic name for the state of the spirits of the dead, whether righteous or wicked. The word Hades occurs 10 times in our New Testaments. For your information, we'll give you these passages to mark in your Bible if you use the King James Version. Hades is translated correctly in most of the other translations. But those in the King James that use hell, where the word Hades should be translated, are Matthew chapter 11 and verse 23, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Luke chapter 10 and verse 15, Luke chapter 16 and verse 23, Acts chapter 2 verse 27 and 31, Revelation chapter 1 verse 18, Revelation chapter 6 verse 8, Revelation chapter 20, verse 13 and 14. Understanding these passages with the corrected word Hades instead of the King James Version hell will help each of us to accurately teach the Bible doctrine regarding afterlife of the spirit. There are two places in Hades. One is paradise. It's the abode of all righteous spirits. Secondly, there's the place identified as Tartarus. It is the receptacle of all disembodied unrighteous spirits by definition. Paradise and Tartarus are places in Hades divided by a great gulf, fixed to keep the wicked spirits separated from the righteous spirits. Luke chapter 16 and verse 26. When righteous spirits depart the body, they will reside and go to a wonderful place of comfort and beauty called paradise in the Hadean realm. When Jesus died on the cross, his spirit went to paradise in the Hadean realm. Remember the words that Jesus said to the thief on the cross? "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Luke chapter 23 and verse 43. The body of Jesus lay in the tomb while his soul, or spirit, was in Hades. "You will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." Acts chapter 2 and verse 27. When unrighteous, those who refuse to obey the Lord while in their bodies on the earth, when their spirits depart their bodies, they will be cast into a place in Hades identified as Tartarus, a place of torment. God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for the judgment. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. The word hell in this passage is the Greek word Tartarus, spelled T-A-R-T-A-R-U-S. Tartarus is the place of punishment in the Hadean realm, most likely where the rich man was confined in torment. Luke chapter 16, verses 23, 24, 25, and 26. Follow along as we read in the Bible from Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. This text furnishes us with several facts that happen to the spirit after it leaves the body. Begin reading in verse 19. "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he, Lazarus, is comforted, and you, the rich man, are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there's a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us.' Then he said, 'I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment.' Abraham said to him, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' But he said to him, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead.'" Let's identify the facts that Luke tells us, beginning in verse 19. There were and always will be rich and poor folks in the human family. Verses 19 and 20. People in dire need sometimes are ignored by those who have plenty. The beggar Lazarus was ignored by the rich man who could have helped him. Verse 21. The extremely poor will die, and likewise the luxuriously rich will die also. Verse 22. Our bodies may be left in the dirt to decay, or be buried after the custom of the day. Verse 22. Unlike the body that dies and is buried and returns to the dust, the soul lives on in a place prepared by God, verse 22. The spirit remains conscious and can sense pain or comfort when it departs from the body. Being in torment, cool my tongue. I am tormented in this flame, verses 23 and 24. The soul will remember what happened on the earth. Abraham said to the rich man, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received the good things, and likewise, Lazarus, the evil things," verse 25. It's impossible for the wicked and the righteous spirits to get together because of the great gulf that separates them, verse 26. The wicked spirits can reason. They can remember, they can realize that they are in this place of torment because of the way they lived in the body while on earth. Verses 27 and 28. The rich man and all the wicked spirits in Tartarus refused to repent. Now they are doomed to suffer endless punishment because of their rejection of God's offer of redemption. Verses 29 and 31. We caution that no single text, such as we have just read from Luke chapter 16, contains the full picture of the disembodied state of human spirits. We must bring together, then, other scriptures that give us added information that is not found in Luke chapter 16. Time remaining on this broadcast would not be sufficient to explore all those other texts on this subject, however. In summary, you and I have a body and a spirit. Someday, my spirit and your spirit will depart our bodies. In the grave, our bodies will eventually return to dust as they were. At the last day, God will raise our bodies and clothe them with a new body that is immortal, meaning it will never die. All righteous spirits will be carried by angels to Abraham's bosom, a paradise of comfort in the Hadean realm no one will ever want to leave. All unrighteous spirits will be cast into Tartarus, a place of torment with the rich man and all other evil people. They will cry out to leave, but they cannot ever get out. They're doomed for eternity in misery and suffering because they rejected God's commandments while living on the earth. One of the major contributing factors to the injustices of our day is the ideology of humanism. Humanistic philosophies, humanistic belief systems, and humanistic lifestyles, in fact, promote the wrongs, grievances, and injustices against society which they want to change. Listen as we read from what could be entitled the Humanism Bible. Promises of immortal salvation or fear of eternal damnation are both illusory and harmful. They distract humans from present concerns, from self-actualization, and from rectifying social injustices. Modern science discredits such historic concepts as the ghost in the machine and the separable soul. Rather, science affirms that the human species is an emergence from the natural evolutionary forces. There is no credible evidence that life survives the death of the body. Humanist Manifesto 2, number 2. Ladies and gentlemen, such a wrong-headed system of belief, ideology, and practice that is being taught from middle schools to the universities has produced much of the present chaos, hate, crime, strife, social injustices, and unrest in America. If people believe they can do as they please, and that there are no consequences to pay in this life, and that there's no life after death, then why? Yes, why live by anybody's rule except their own? This philosophy is right now reaping and an abundant harvest in our homes, in our schools, in society, and in our government. Will it make a difference when you die whether you have lived godly and worshiped God in His church? It absolutely will. Are you conducting your life so as to be well-pleasing to God when your spirit leaves your body? God is the judge, and He will not and doesn't need to consult with the Supreme Court on what is right and what is wrong. You and I have a choice. We can prepare and live righteous lives, and our spirits will be taken by the angels to live with God in paradise. Failure to obey God will ensure one's doom in eternal torment. Where will your spirit go when it leaves your body? The choice is yours. If you have a question or a comment about our lesson this morning, we can be reached by phone at 373-5773 or by email to ed@churchofchristwasilla.com. A free CD of today's lesson is available on request. I'm Wendell Fikes. Thank you for listening. Until this same time next Sunday morning, we bid you a pleasant good day.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadows of dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love, and covers me there with His hand. And covers me there with His hand. Oh, wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up and I shall not be moved.
We hope that you've been encouraged and will continue your study of God's Word. Please join us again as we search the Scriptures so that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Please remember that you are cordially invited to come and study God's Word with us at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway to Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard, just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our meeting times are Sunday morning Bible study for all ages at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. Our midweek Bible study for all ages is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you have any questions concerning the lesson presented or would like additional study material or a home Bible study, please visit us at churchofchristwasilla.com or contact us by calling 373-5773. Thank you for listening and searching the Scriptures with us this morning.